Hello and welcome to this week's Golf Shake podcast. To start off, we're going to have to apologise because we've been away for 2 weeks, or I've been away for 2 weeks, should I say. It's all my fault. Matt's with me as usual. Matt, sorry, I had a holiday. Been in Portugal for a week with the family. As the way it worked out, I've kind of missed two Mondays, which is when we normally record the podcast. So, yes, sorry, everyone, but it's all my fault.
Absolutely fine. Absolutely fine to have a holiday. I was a little bit shocked that I wasn't trusted, basically, to do the podcast on my own while you were away.
Oh, is that what it was?
Yeah. Well, I don't know. I can only assume that it was a lack of trust. And
I don't blame trust.
Whatever. I don't blame him, to be honest. Could you imagine if I was let loose on this just on my own?
No, I can't. Yeah, crazy. But
did you have a nice time?
Oh, yeah, it was good. It was good. Really nice and sunny. In fact, it was boiling. The first 2 days we got there, it was 40 degrees. It was absolutely roasting. So, yeah, it was almost too hot for the kids, really. But, yeah, as the week went on, it was kind of mid-30s most days, which is warm, but nice. Yeah, it was good. So we got
a
bit of time in the pool. It was good.
I just have this image of that scene of the in-betweeners when they get off the plane. Then when you said it was too hot, you know, when they get off the plane and it's like, oh, it's well hot. Yeah, it's probably too hot.
When we got to the airport, when we first got there, honestly, like the sun was just like coming off the tarmac. It was like blinding, but so hot as well. Yeah, it was crazy. But we're never going to complain about that because it was beautiful. It was really good. So, yeah, it was a great week. Had a couple of beers.
Family holiday, yeah. Did you play any golf?
With the kids. Didn't play any golf. I took my little girl to Penina Golf Club, which was just down the road from the apartment we were staying in, because she's just golf mad at the minute. She's only six. But, yeah, loving it. So we went there. They had a little club for her to borrow, which was really nice of them. So shout out to Penina Golf Club. Very, very, very good. Thank you very much. Yeah, we hit 100 balls on the range, of which she hit most of them. I've got a set of clubs over there that I keep there, and they're a set of Nike blades, like limited edition Nike blades that I've had for a while. Absolutely awesome. So I was hitting them on the practice ground there. An old Cleveland launcher, 3-wood with a graphaloid blue in it. An old Nike driver, some Nike wedges and a Nike method putter. So yeah, there's just some awesome clubs there to have a go with, which was great. No, it's nice. So yeah, we went to the range there at Penina, which is awesome. It's absolutely massive. Got a really good short game area on it as well. Did some putting. Putting green's massive there too. It's like a football pitch. It's huge. Ivy was absolutely loving it. And it was really nice and warm. I put a little video on my social media for those of you that follow me on Instagram. You'll have seen it, or Facebook. It was great. I'm just loving that she's so into the game, really. And I'm not pushing her to do anything whatsoever. She's asking to go to the driving range and do some practice, and you know, she's all, every single time she finishes, it's, oh, did I do better than last time and all that kind of stuff. I'm like, yeah. So she loves it, absolutely loves
it. It's good.
So yeah, but I mean, other than holiday, I've hit the ground running as well coming back. It's really busy. Obviously, you can imagine this time of year as a golf pro at a club, there's lots going on, competitions, sort of societies. We've got another big society today, or well, corporate day, I suppose, really, with Batley Bulldogs Rugby League. So they're here today having a shotgun start and kind of presentation of meal and everything afterwards. So it's a busy one. So we've had 100 odd people playing in that shotgun that's just gone off about 20 minutes ago. So yeah, it's been a busy morning, as well as having some lessons booked in as well, and having loads of stuff going on there. But yeah, it's, you know, since coming back from Portugal, it's just been all hands to the pump, really. Loads of stuff going on. The shop's busy. Lessons are busy. I can't complain, but it's just, it's just a busy time of year, really. These next couple of months are just going to be bonkers.
It sounds like your beer delivery's just turned up as well.
I think it's empty.
Emptying your weekend.
Just ideal when you're trying to record something, isn't it? So it just shows how unprofessional I actually am. But yeah, I'm upstairs in the performance centre here at Howley, and thought this would be a quiet place to go, but obviously not.
It shows how real it is.
Yeah, real.
That's what it does.
That's what you want.
Joke about the empties, right? But I play, if I'm playing on a Sunday morning, I always play pretty much the same time, kind of anything between, I'd say anything between 7:30 and 8:30 on a Sunday morning. And there's always these one or two members that are literally just up there emptying their empties in the bottle bank from the night.
Oh, really?
Before.
Oh,
like,
my God.
It's just like a never ending, like, smash of bottles from in the going in the bottle bin.
Jeez.
Every week, guaranteed, every week.
Yeah. Well, I mean, yeah, I mean, I'm sure it happens at every golf club. I mean, here it's the same. We've got a huge cardboard bin. People bring stuff up and dump it in and skips in the greenkeeper's bloody compound and stuff. They're trying to get rid of things. But yeah, it's just mad, isn't it? But anyway, back to golf, mate. Lots has gone on in the last couple of weeks. We had the British Masters, which I saw absolutely none of. Daniel Hillier winning there. Really, really good win for him. Well, biggest win of his life, absolutely. And yeah, huge, huge tournament. Your mate Ricky winning again. Massive story at the Rocket Mortgage Classic.
If we have done a podcast, by the way, I would have picked him to win. Like, I pick him every week.
Yeah, well, you pick him every week, exactly. So that's not exactly. It was a hard win for him, though. You know, winning in a playoff with Morikawa and Adam Hadwin is no mean feat. And to be honest, the fact that Adam Hadwin's walking after that rugby tackle that he got a couple of weeks ago is pretty good. But yeah, it was great. And I think, to be honest, it's almost better for Ricky to have won in that fashion. I think it was tougher. He's had to grind it out. He's had to win in a playoff, and I think he'll take a lot from that. And who knows, he might win again very, very quickly.
I.e. this week at the Scottish or next week at the Open.
Or who knows, the big one at the Open. He did well at Hoy Lake, obviously. Last time it was there, coming second to Rory. And sort of the two of them were going at it most of the way around. Rory, obviously, was just awesome that week and ended up winning. But, yeah, who knows? I mean, he's definitely got the game and he certainly looks like he's got the confidence back as well, which is a huge thing going into a major championship and certainly for the rest of his season. And he's obviously risen a hell of a lot in the world rankings in that period. He's got back into, is he 30th or something like that?
He's into the top 30, I think.
Yeah, which is just awesome. But yeah, it's very, very good. And who knows, he's probably pushing for a Ryder Cup spot. And why would you not take Ricky Fowler to the Ryder Cup? I mean, he's very experienced. He's obviously playing nicely. And he's certainly someone that anyone could get on with playing in a pair, but also not someone you'd want to play in singles either.
No, definitely not. Definitely not.
There's loads that's gone on. I mean,
there's so much. So,
did you want to play a lot?
Well, I was going to say, did you want to talk? I know we've had events this weekend, but it's probably worth talking about the Stone Market Golf Club midweek medal from 2 weeks ago.
Okay. It wasn't on my list, but okay.
I was shocked that it wasn't on your list. It's very much on.
Are we talking about it because you did quite well in it?
Very much on my list because it was nice to be a winner again.
Oh, well done.
Albeit in a midweek medal. A win's a win. But yeah, no, I played good golf. I have been playing good golf. I shot two over in the midweek medal and ended up winning that by two shots, which was nice. That also qualifies me for like this end of year. It's called a Pinder Trophy. It's like a bogey comp where basically all the winners from all the medals in Stableford's going and playing a bogey comp at the end of the year, which is nice to be in.
Very good. Well done.
Yeah, thanks. And since then, I've been putting some good scores on and I've just had my club championships this weekend. Do you want to hear about that?
Yep, tell me. I'm sure you've put it all over social media, but I haven't looked at anything in the last few days.
It is on social media. So basically, I shot 8 over the first day, 6 over the second day.
Okay.
The first day was a very boring kind of 10 pars, 8 bogeys, 4 over out, 4 over back. Yesterday was... So I was only 7 shots back gross, but I'll be honest, like my handicap, I feel like I'm right in that kind of window where I'm probably not good enough for the gross, but I'm probably too low to compete in the net over 2 days. I'd set myself a target at the start of the year to finish top 10 gross. I finished 11th, which when all is said and done, I'm pretty happy. I think I finished 11th gross and 12th net out of like 100 golfers. So it was a pretty good weekend. Yeah, it was a good weekend. I didn't embarrass myself and both rounds over the weekend were counters towards the handicap. So couldn't really ask so much more, to be honest.
Very good. No, that's a pretty good return, isn't it? I suppose it's, you know, putting pressure on yourself to play well in a certain event is always difficult as well. But yeah, it's good, mate. Well done.
Yeah.
So will your handicap come down for that then? Obviously, your midweek one, it will do, won't it? That'll be a counting score, and then these two as well. Or?
It's just, do you know what? It's floating since the midweek win. It had crept up to 5.9. It's now back down to 5.1. It had gone up to 5. It's fluctuating at the moment. I'm kind of jumping between 5.1 and 5.4 every other time I wake up. But the last five scores that I've put on England Golf have been handicap counters.
Okay, so, very good.
Yeah, I'll now have that run where, you know, the next three to come off are non-counters. Then I've got a counter that's like my highest counter. So I've got a chance to kind of get it back into the four somethings.
Have you got a play for the end of the season then? What are you trying to be off by the end of the year?
No, I've never set myself handicap goals. I've always set myself different metrics around my performance, and if I hit them, then my handicap should always improve. So goals for me are I use the Golf Shake score tracker to monitor my goals, and it's things like my putting average. You know, I want to see less than 31 putts at my home course per round. I want to be hitting over 40 to 42% greens, scoring average of under 76. So if I tick all those, then my handicap should come down in theory.
Absolutely.
And the last time I had a look, I was doing okay. I was tracking behind on all of them in theory, but only by a little bit, nothing that can't be saved.
Yeah.
You know, given it's now...
I mean, like I say, it sounds like it's moving in the right direction, and that your sort of scores are getting where they want to be.
Yeah, no, I'm definitely happy with... I'm happy with our playing. I stick into a game plan of not hitting driver too often at my course at the moment, because you can put yourself into a spot of bother if you miss with... I suppose it's like any golf course. If you hit driver straight, you get rewarded. But if you miss it at the moment, you're missing big, and it's you can put yourself into a spot of bother. I'd like to hit my irons a little bit better than what I am at the moment, because I feel like that's what's holding me back from scoring the ones and twos over a little bit more regularly. But we'll get there.
Yeah, good.
Have you
got loads coming up in the next few weeks, or?
No, I've also, in the last couple of weeks, I've also had another, I can't remember whether I've definitely had another open competition since the last time we spoke. I don't know. When did you go away? What date did you go away?
26th, we flew out on the Monday.
Yeah, so it was the Thursday after that I played at, probably my favourite course in Suffolk, Purdis, Ipswich. And that was a 36-hole in a day job. Again, played all right in that, but that's like a really, really nice golf course. 2 weeks today, I'll be heading up to Scotland. And then I've got a couple more open competitions throughout the rest of the year, but it's... yeah, I'm kind of pretty much at the peak now. It'll start to tail off towards the end of the season now.
Very good. What are you playing up in Scotland? Where are you going there?
So we're actually going to Loch Lomond, but we're playing we're playing the Carrick at Cameron House.
Yeah.
So it's on Loch Lomond. It's not actually Loch Lomond Golf Club. Unfortunately, I think that's pretty tough to get on.
It is. I've managed to play a couple of times, but it's been with like people who are already members there and stuff.
So I'm looking forward to getting up there. I've not been to that part of the world. Hopefully, the weather will be kind to us.
Oh, it's beautiful up there. The weather's good. I mean, it's nice.
Yeah. Yeah, it looks good. So I'm like right in the middle of this kind of this golf high at the moment, where, you know, all I want to do is play, all I want to do is watch it. I'll be honest, I haven't watched much golf lately.
No, I haven't, to be honest. I mean, obviously being away on holiday, I kind of kept up with what was going on, particularly because I wanted Ricky to win. And obviously the British Masters was on, which it was, I mean, we could get it in Portugal, but it was fairly difficult to kind of watch a lot of it, which obviously you don't want to do on the holiday anyway. But,
I mean, that feels like, I was going to say, that feels like quite long ago, but I suppose that was not last week, wasn't it? Because I did watch a fair bit of golf at the Belvedere.
Did you? Yeah. No, I didn't get to watch much. I saw, obviously, Dan Bradbury did really well, tied eighth. But, yeah, Daniel Hillier winning. I mean, that's a huge win for him. And everyone was kind of willing Ollie Wilson to do pretty well. And Rose looked pretty good for a time as well, didn't he, by the look of it? But, yeah, I say, I'm surprised I didn't get to watch a lot of it, but... But no, it's good. And then
it's a sneaky good golf course, you know, the Belfry. Like, I know
I like it.
Some people don't rate it, and I don't understand why. I almost feel like sometimes people don't rate it because they've been and they've played crap, so they think it's like
the mare and lost huge balls in the water or something. But yeah, I mean, it's not the typical layout you'll see them play every week, but it's a good golf course, and I think just it's had. Probably, what is it? Had three Ryder Cups there. I mean, it's maybe more. I don't know. It's pretty.
And
good.
Scoring just goes to show that scoring around there wasn't silly low, right? So it's not golf. It's not
no. Conditions were particularly hard either. I mean, it didn't look particularly windy. It looked quite sunny. That what I saw, but I may be wrong. But it just looked good. But and then there's been a load of stuff happen this past week, just gone, hasn't there? So. DP World Tour, we've had the Made in Denmark at Himmerland, which I've played there before, and it's a really, really good golf course. Seeing Rasmus Højgaard win there is very good as well. That'll do him the world of good going into...
Six-hole playoff, yeah?
Yeah.
So I didn't know, I'll be honest, I didn't know that, because I played Saturday morning, and then because I played okay, then my tee time was late Sunday afternoon. It's just like being a tour player. Right, if you play well Saturday, you go off late Sunday. Yeah. So I didn't actually see any of the golf. I know that Rasmus Højgaard won, but it was only I jumped on the computer this morning and was checking the scores, and it just said Højgaard wins after a dramatic playoff, and I was like, oh, what happened there then? I didn't realize it was six. He won it on the sixth playoff hole.
Yeah, it's very good. He's just such a good player, isn't he? I mean, they're all good players, but I mean. A prolific winner at the age that he is very, very impressive, and it's only kind of made his chances of making the Ryder Cup team even better. Like I say, Himmerland is not a easy golf course at all, and they're shooting some good scores around there, and it's never the easiest. I mean, it always gets a bit windy and a bit the weather can come in a little bit and be fairly difficult, but no, great performance from him. And on that Ryder Cup theme, PGA Tour, Sepp Straka, I mean, how good was he last night? He finished with a double to shoot 9-under for his round.
Naughty. Silly golf, that, isn't it?
Crazy stuff. So, yeah, I mean, and he still won fairly convincingly, to be fair. But a double on the last to shoot 9-under is kind of everyone's dream round of golf. I mean, turns out he would have shot 60. He needed to birdie the last for a 59, But he was just going so well all the way around. And John Deere is always a good event. Yes, it's not the most, star-studded field. And certainly this week when we get to the Barbasol Championship in Kentucky, it's not going to be the most star-studded field because most of the guys are coming across to get ready for the Open. They're either playing Scottish Open or playing some links golf to kind of get them ready for Hoylake the following week. So... It's a good opportunity for someone to jump out of the pack and win the Barbasol this week. But what a performance, and who's to say Sepp Straka won't be one of those names on Luke Donald's list going into the Ryder Cup in September.
Well, he is he's up to 27th in the world rankings.
Yeah.
So I don't know. He doesn't need to go much higher, does he?
No, but I mean, I don't know how it works with Does he play enough events in Europe to call? I don't know. I don't know if he's.
I'm not sure.
Qualifies that way or not. I'm sure he'll probably play a few more if he's got a chance to get in the Ryder Cup.
Well,
team.
I think the co-sanctioned ones they count towards, right. So if he comes over this week and plays Scottish and then plays the Open, there's two events straight away.
He'll have played all the majors so far, won't he? So
yeah. Ricky Fowler, 21, by the way. Just so you know. I know we mentioned him earlier in the world.
21 in the world, that's unbelievable. Yep. Right, okay. Well, I mean, he's pretty much a shoo-in for the Ryder Cup team then, isn't he? I don't know what I said, but...
You look just one place above him, Justin Thomas, who's slowly sliding down the rankings.
Yeah, he's not been at his best this year, but who knows? I mean, he has had some half-decent performances on Lynx Golf before, but yeah, I mean, and obviously you've got the guys that are playing well in LIV as well that probably... their rankings don't really justify how well they're doing as well, potentially. So you've got the likes of DJ and Brooks. And I mean, Patrick Reed came second yesterday in that live event at Centurion and pushed Cameron Smith quite a lot of the way. Him and Leishman finishing second to Cam Smith. I mean, that event looked pretty good as well. I don't know if you saw any of it. I know you're not a big live fan, but I watched a lot of the build-up to it and some of the kind of stuff they were doing off the course, which looked pretty good. It looked... you know, typical sort of party atmosphere that you tend to get at those events. And Cameron Smith played some pretty damn good golf as well.
I did see, I probably saw more of it than what I would have wanted to, due to the fact that it seemed like everybody, that's got an Instagram account was going along.
Yeah, it was influence central, unfortunately, wasn't it? Yeah.
Yeah, it was, yeah.
Not my cup of tea at all, but... But yeah, no. I mean,
and also I did notice that one or two that were very anti-LIV all of a sudden are very pro-LIV based on the fact that they probably got a free ticket.
Exactly,
which is a little bit embarrassing.
Excellent. I mean, as we've spoken about at length at times on this podcast, I've always quite liked it, and I quite like the format of it. I quite like that the events are shorter, but kind of everyone goes off at the same time. I really like that kind of part of it, and it just seems like really good fun when you're there. But yeah, like you say, some of the people who have kind of not kind of voiced huge opinions about it but have kind of steered clear of it in the past, all of a sudden we're all over it, and it's almost like, oh, it's all right that we can like it now, do you know what I mean, because of this like alliance that's happened. So
yeah, I don't mind if people change their mind, right? Just for clarity, like it's absolutely fine if people decide, do you know what, I'm going to give it a chance. But I almost feel like it's no, I don't like it. Oh, this is great because I'm an influencer and I got a free ticket. It's like, do better.
And that's the problem, isn't it? There's too many people like that. They're just.
I also saw the flash mob.
I saw a picture. I didn't actually see it.
I understand what they're trying to do. I do get it. It just felt all a bit 2010 for me.
Yeah.
So I did actually, I can't remember who it was, so apologies if anyone's listening to this and I think, oh, you could have credited me, but somebody tweeted, said at the next event, they're all going to do the Ice Bucket Challenge, which I thought was quite funny. I don't know. I understand what LIV are trying to do. They're trying to be different, and that's absolutely fine, right? I think there's space for something different, but I don't know if you need to try that hard to do it. Different.
On the other side to that, I mean, the merchandise tents looked absolutely packed. They were selling out of everything that was there, so the fans are kind of buying into it. And I've also had a few members from here gone down to the event, and they've never been to a golf event before. Would never go to the British Masters. You know, none of them ever been to the Open, but really wanted to go to that live event. So it is appealing to a completely different demographic, which is great. I think, you know, I've always said I like live. I do. I really like it.
Is it appealing because it's cheaper to go to watch that than the Open, for example? I'm just. You know, I mean, look, I took my eldest years ago to Centurion to watch Golf Sixes when they did that, and it was, you know, it was very geared towards the younger generation. You know, lots of you know, people dressed up and face painting and whooping and hollering, and you know, it was great for the kids. So, you know, I don't know if you need to go over the top with it. That's all I'm saying. It was. Yeah, it looked okay. I know lots of people that went. It looked like they had a good day out. So, yeah, fair play to them.
yeah, I mean, it looked good. And like I say, very similar to a lot of the events that they've put on this year. And obviously this was, you know, back last year, this was their first ever event, wasn't it, at Centurion? So it was kind
it
of
was.
Marking the kind of start of LIV last year and kind of revisiting that. And yeah, it was good. And good to see Cameron Smith playing some good golf as well ahead of obviously the Open, which he'll be defending in a couple of weeks' time. So, I mean, moving on to this week then, we've already touched on the Barbasol Championship, which, let's face it, no one's that bothered about. But the Scottish Open, we've got a renaissance, okay? We've got some big players playing in that you would normally see on the PGA Tour. So Cantlay, Fitzpatrick, Fleetwood, Fowler, Hatton, Homer, Hovland, McIlroy, Rose, Schauffele, Spieth and Wallace, to name a few, right? Matt Wallace, who qualified for the Open by winning the qualifying as well. So he's obviously playing quite nicely. Have you got, you've already mentioned that you're going to, Ricky's your man, isn't he? But who else other than him in this field do you think is going to do?
So I'll tell you who I like, who I do think can also have a good week at the Open. I'm not saying he is a winner, but I really like Minwoo Lee.
Okay, yeah, good.
I think he's shown some really good signs.
We've had the test match in Headingley this last week, and there was a shot of him sat with Daniel Hillier, who won, obviously, the British Masters. There was a shot of them two sat in the stands watching the cricket, having a few beers, which I thought was quite cool. Good. Very, very stark contrast to seeing Rose and Fleetwood sat on centre court at Wimbledon anyway. Very different.
Yeah, that was even the, I see JT, Jordan Spieth and Ricky Fowler were also at Wimbledon yesterday.
Yeah, they were all looking like the man from Del Monte. It was wonderful.
Yeah. Yeah, well, lots of social media posts there. Yeah, they did. I just saw lots of, what did E3 do for a living? Wrong answers only. Some of the responses are pretty funny.
Some of the people that were criticising Spieth for not ironing his linen suit that he was wearing as well. So, yeah, they were saying he was fairly wayward with the driver, but also not very good with an iron. I saw was what put on there, which I thought was quite funny. But we've obviously got a massive event this week that rolls into, for me, the biggest tournament of the year, which is the Open Championship, which obviously this year is going to be at Hoylake, which is a course I've played quite a few times. Absolutely love it. Some people, you know, that I've spoken to that have played Hoylake don't rate it at all. Again, I think it's those sorts of people who, like you were talking about the Belfry, who've turned up there and just not ever played it very well. Do you know what I mean? I think that the layout's good. It's perfect for spectators to get around and watch as well. And I like the way they change up the formation of it for the Open as well to make it a bit more viewer friendly, I suppose, but also make the starting two holes a little bit tougher, because that what is the normal first, which is the third in the Open, is a bit of a weird kind of dogleg sort of hole, which doesn't look great, I wouldn't have said, on TV potentially, but it's still a good hole, don't get me wrong. But you know, as far as Open Championship first tee shots go, I think they get it right with that kind of amphitheatre they create on what normally would be the 17th, but is the first for the Open Championship. I think it looks great. I was lucky enough to play it back in 2014, a few days after Rory won the Open there with the stands still up, and it was one of the best golfing experiences of my life, I would say, particularly around the 18th when you're putting out there and there's a huge kind of grandstands all the way around you, and obviously no people sat in them like they would be packed on the Sunday, but it was almost eerie putting out because you could hear the sound of your putt echoing off the grandstand and stuff.
You mean no one turned out to see you?
No one cared about me, but I don't blame them either. I mean, going back to what we've been doing in the last 2 weeks, I've played some good stuff and some absolutely horrific golf as well. Yeah, we spoke about, I was playing in Wales, wasn't I? Last time we actually did a podcast.
Yes.
That week. I played lovely there, to be honest. Played nicely on the first day of the Pro-Am. Shot one over, having had an absolute mare down a par five as well, making a seven down a par five when I had, you know, a six iron in my hand into the green. Shot one over first round, and then played pretty poorly second round. But the weather was absolutely awful second day, so we just chucked it down and like 30 mile an hour wind all the way around. But yeah, I mean, it wasn't a bad score, but it was not nothing like what I was capable of. But yeah, I kind of didn't really feel like I got the best out of my round on the Thursday, the first round, and one over was probably the worst I could have shot for how I played, really. And then I also played, having come back from holiday and not really hit many balls, to I played in a tournament this Friday just gone over at Pleasington, which is in Lancashire. And it was a PGA Pairs event, so I played with my dad, which is always great to get out there and play with my dad. But we were both so bad, honestly. It felt like someone else's arms were attached to my body. I had absolutely no idea what I was doing. I had
That's brilliant.
Six bogeys, no birdies, and just played horrible. It was awful. But onwards and upwards, we all have those types of days, and hopefully we can put a decent number in next time we play, because it's in there somewhere.
Next time. Always the next time.
Always next time.
Mate, if you don't laugh, you'll cry.
Exactly. It's a tough game.
So one takeaway
that I got from yesterday when we were watching the golf as well, being a retailer and being involved with Callaway to some extent in terms of, you know, retailing their product and testing a lot of it. One thing I saw that I thought was really interesting was they put a stat up yesterday. There was a top 10 at one time in Himmerland yesterday. Out of the top 10 players, 9 of them had a Callaway driver, which I thought was unbelievable. And 9 of them had an Odyssey putter as well, which I've not seen that in an event for a while. It's normally quite a good mix. There's someone who's out there on tour all the time putting these kind of things, and he puts loads of pictures and stuff up. But yeah, and 8 out of the 9 Callaway drivers were the new Paradigm as well, which you generally don't get guys to switch too readily if it's not better than what they've already got. So I think it kind of validates
Is this the Instagram account, the SMS on tour?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah,
because there's a guy. There's somebody on Instagram. I don't know who it is.
Players' bags and their equipment. It's almost like what Golf WRX was back in the day, where you would just see stuff in people's bags from each tournament. But yeah, it really struck me how Odyssey is the number one putter on tour pretty much every week, and you'd expect there to be lots in people's bags, but to have 9 out of the top 10. The other putter, incidentally, was Robert McIntyre, who's got a Scotty Cameron. And same with driver as well. He's got a Titleist driver. So yeah, there was 9 Callaway, 1 Titleist, 9 Odyssey, 1 Scotty Cameron or Titleist. So
all different models as well.
In putters, absolutely.
I'm looking at it now.
Yeah, I think it was Kale Samuja that had the Jailbird in there, which is like the most popular putter in the entire planet right now. For obvious reasons, with 3 wins in 3 events with 3 different players on the PGA Tour, it's getting some traction.
Yeah, no, I'm looking at it now actually, and it's 8 out of the 4, 5, 6, 7, 10. Like you're saying, 9 Odyssey, and they're all different models.
Yeah.
It's an interesting account. It's a good account, actually. SMS_on_tour. There you go, if you're interested.
Yeah, but see stuff every week there, and it's really interesting to look in people's bags. And you look in, I think they showed you Rasmus Højgaard's bag as well, and he had a good mixture of stuff in there that he was using too. So he's obviously a Callaway contracted player as well. Are they after you, Matt? Are they finally caught up with you, police?
Yeah, the golf police, that is.
But he's obviously a Callaway contracted player, so he's going to have lots of Callaway clubs in his bag. But yeah, it was good to see what he was using as well. And I'm always interested in stuff like that, being a bit of a equipment junkie, I suppose, getting to see all that sort of stuff. But no, it's a really good insight into what you see in players' bags on tour, and it's definitely an account to follow. So if we're going into obviously this next pretty busy period of golf, right? So we're going to talk next week probably in more depth about the Open and kind of who we think is going to win. But do you think that the players kind of, obviously, they're coming across now to get some sort of Lynx golf experience, I suppose, because it's not something that they play every week. It's almost like, we've got Wimbledon going on at the minute, and the sort of grass court season that they have, it's almost like a bit of a very short Lynx season, isn't it, that the players have to come and sort of, it's interesting. I've not seen Rahm's name on the list for the Scottish Open, which I thought he probably would be.
Yeah, that was surprised at that. Surprised at that. So what I like this time of year is I like, and this is where I think social media does good, because I like seeing, all the players coming over, and you just get, you know, random world-class golfers just turning up at, you know, the most obscure places. Like, you'll just get somebody turn up at, I'm not going to say a regular Scottish course, because it's all courses up there are pretty good. But was it Max Homer last year played around, didn't he? And then went to North Berwick or somewhere and played in the morning, and then basically just went and as a visitor and played somewhere else in the afternoon, because he just, you know, loved it and he just wanted to play as much as he could. I like that sort of stuff when you see the guys coming over and getting prepped. You don't know where they're going to turn up on and where they're going to play.
Yeah, there's a few years ago that we were up there doing some stuff at the Scottish Open with Golf Shake, and there was me, Kieran, Kev, Darren, I think, and we went to North Berwick because they've got a crazy putting green there near the golf course. And we went and had a bit of a, you know, you could pay a couple of quid and have a bit of a, it's almost like crazy golf, but there's absolutely no obstacles in the way. It's just a completely mental green, almost like that Himalayas one at St. Andrews. But we put it there, and as we were finishing, Fowler, Justin Thomas and Jimmy Walker were coming off the 18th at North Berwick, having played the Scottish Open, and just went for another round. It was really good. We're just watching them finish out, and there's quite a few people out there following them and watching them. But yeah, like you say, you see Tiger always used to go to like Northern Ireland. He'd be playing like County Down and Portrush and places like that, and go for a game of golf there rather than being in the sort of media spotlight of the Scottish Open, and sort of tried to keep himself to himself as much as Tiger Woods can do that. And I think some of the players seem to be adopting that kind of method quite well. So, you probably will see some stuff on social media in the next few weeks where there'll be players turning up at links courses all over the place and just to have a game and kind of hone their skills a little bit, I suppose. I'd imagine many have gone to Hoylake as well, you know, and they've probably played a couple of rounds there maybe this week and before they get there next week.
Yeah. Shane Lowry was another one. I can't remember where he was playing, but he was floating around somewhere, I think. But yeah, it's a good
practice his golf.
Yeah. So I've got a little tradition that I wanted to share with you, something that I do every year. That I've done every year for as long as I can remember, actually. And it's something based around the Open. But I just wondered if you could maybe guess what it is. I'll give you like three clues or three guesses.
A tradition you do around the Open.
Yeah, every year. Have done for years. I'll give you one clue. It's always based around the actual golf course that it's played at.
Oh God.
Or it's related to, in theory, it's related to the golf course where the Open's being held.
Okay. I don't know. It could be something. Knowing you, it could be something really obscure.
No, it's not.
Make the local delicacy dish for your tea.
No, it's a good guess though. I like that as a guess. No. So basically, I won't say which magazine it is, but there's a popular golf magazine which I never buy for 11 months of the year. I'll be honest, I don't buy. I haven't bought a golf magazine repeatedly for years, but every year they always give away a stroke saver, a course planner for the golf course where the Open's played. And it's just something that I've always done. I've always gone and bought it that month to get the planner for the open venue. And I've got them all sitting up. I've got them all sitting in the box upstairs with all the other course planners from all the courses that I've played. So I'll be going out this morning to pick that magazine up and have a flick through, so you get a little understanding of the course for next week.
Very good. I mean, we used to, when I worked at a resort golf course, we used to get one sent through every year from its Stroke Saver that make the books, obviously. Yeah. And because ours were made by them every year, they'd send us like a couple of the whichever open venue it was at, they'd send us a couple of the Stroke Savers through. So you had like the tournament edition one, which was pretty cool. So yeah, you sat cool. at home then, like looking at each hole, getting the yardage for people. Is that, are you that sad? Or are you,
I'm not. That... I'm not really looking at the yardage for people, but I just. I just like to. No, do you know, I enjoy. I think it's more about, so like I really enjoy watching the golfers play at courses that I've played, and that's not necessarily because I've played them. It's because I know the course so well. So I think, for example, like St Andrews is a good example where, even if you haven't played it, right, you probably know the course pretty well.
Yeah.
That might be because you've seen it on TV so often. That might be because of the old computer games you used to play. You know, that's, I know Pebble Beach so well through playing that online golf game that I used to play like for hours, years ago. Yeah. Hoy Lake is not a course that I'm too familiar with. You know, I haven't been there, I haven't played there, I haven't played much golf in that part of the world. So yeah, it's just nice to kind of flick through and see, understand, you know, which holes are which, you know, where the trouble lies, you know, certain carries on certain bunkers and stuff, that sort of thing. I just it's the golf geek in me. I'm not going to lie, I can't pretend it's anything other than the geekiness in me.
All right, and I think it's cool. It's a bit geeky, like you say. But yeah, I mean.
I've got worse. I'm not sharing the rest. There's other things that I do that's like extremely geeky / OCD.
Do you sit there in your spikes or something like that watching it?
No, nothing like that. I mean, I won't.
Outfit as Ricky on every day, scripted or something.
No, definitely not. I mean, like, I might have a pot of spare buttons from all the golf polos that I've owned that I cut out because I don't like them rubbing against me, and I don't chuck them away. I just put them in a pot. But that's neither here nor there. That's for another day.
A button hoarder. Matt Holbrook, button hoarder.
There we go.
Make a little necklace out of them all.
Couldn't I?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
But you mentioned Pebble Beach there. This is something we haven't talked about yet. Is the US finished yesterday, right? You know my love for Pebble Beach and how much I absolutely adore the place. Alison Corpus winning there yesterday was very impressive. Won by 3 from our very own Charlie Hull, who had a hell of a last round there, really, shooting 6 under, which is very, very impressive. But yeah, I mean, that's one way to get your first professional win, isn't it?
It certainly is. What a venue to do it. I watched a fair bit of this when I could, actually, because it is a golf course that I enjoy watching on TV, albeit can't stand the Pro-Am, the AT&T Pro-Am. So... So to watch a proper golf tournament on a proper golf course was actually pretty enjoyable, and I'd say I watched more of that than what I did of the PGA Tour event.
Very enjoyable. More of the ladies and Liv really is kind of what I watched over the last few days. But yeah,
There was good stories. I can't remember the name of the lady. That's going to escape me. But the lady she played, she was 7 months pregnant.
Okay.
I can't remember her name. Forgive me, everyone screaming at me probably now. Going, her name's whatever it is. But yeah, that's impressive. And obviously, it was Michelle Wee's last.
Yes. Sort of final farewell tournament. That putt she hold to finish as well was unreal.
Yeah.
Across the 18th green. She was in Manica as well, wasn't she? Yeah.
She was. Yeah. That was really, really good.
That's the way you
that was. Yeah. Another one. Lexi Thompson didn't make the cut, but I know this stat comes up every single year, right? But she was playing in her. She's 28.
Yeah.
And I think she was playing in her 16th or 17th US Open.
Wow. That is so
something great. Unbelievably crazy like that. It's
Jesus.
Yeah. Honestly, it's
unbelievable.
Think about it. It's I'll tell you exactly. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 12, 13, 14,
15,
16, 17th.
Wow.
Yeah. And she's 28. You do the math there.
Exactly. My gosh.
Yeah. I mean, it's crazy to think she's only won one major, you know.
Yeah, she's definitely got the game to win more. A putting lets her down sometimes, doesn't it? She's not the best putter. Yeah. But yeah, I mean, she should certainly be contending in top level.
I mean, lots of top fives, lots of top tens.
She absolutely bombs it as well. She rips it.
Yeah, she does. Yeah,
got a bit impressive. Of a quirky thing, which I question maybe does let her down sometimes under pressure, but she, yeah, I mean, she's definitely got the pedigree to do it. It's, again, it's very similar to Fowler, is it?
To me.
She might just find something and, not you, she might find something and all of a sudden catch fire and win loads, or, you know, she might find some form from somewhere or change her swing or just get some confidence. You never know. It is something as simple as that, isn't it?
Do you know what I'd love to see? I'd love to see her take her glove off when she putts.
A glove off? Why?
I don't know. It's just something about it. She puts with a glove on. It's just something about putting with a glove on. Just take it off. Yeah,
maybe that's why she's not very good at putting. She's got a glove on.
Maybe.
Simple as that. Get it off. Lexi, get that glove off. Hold some putts.
Yeah. I've got one more potential piece of wisdom.
All right.
That I might have to report back on next week.
Come on. No, I want it.
So a problem that I'm sure every golfer faces this time of year when the weather starts to get a bit warm and dry and you're out there on the golf course and your feet might sweat a little bit and your shoes might start to smell a little bit. And I've been spraying fresh feet spray in my shoes and I just can't get rid of that. I don't want to be too descriptive over this because I don't know what time people are going to be listening. But there's, you know, whether it's wetness that isn't dried properly, like a musky smell, or whether it's you've just got, you know, extra cheesy feet. I've been shared some wisdom and I'm going to name her. Hannah from Felix Low Ferry Golf Club sent me a message. I posted on my Instagram today and she said to me, dry shampoo.
Really?
So I'm sitting here as we speak with a tin of my wife's black violet fragrance dry shampoo that I'm about to go and spray. No, she knows I've taken it. I've cleared it with her. And as soon as we finish recording, I'm going to go and spray it in my shoes and I'm going to report back next week and let everybody know. This could be big. This could be industry defining. I'm going to report back. But I'm sure I'm not the only one. So if anybody's got any other home remedies like that you could stick in your shoes to just keep... I don't know what... should get some of that stuff they use at the bowling alleys.
I don't know what that is, but yeah.
I don't know what that is, but it's just, I know it's in a big white can.
I was going to say, if anyone knows, it's going to be those guys, isn't it? Because they don't want to be handling that sort of...
So black violet fragrance dry shampoo. I will report that. That alone
is going to bring everyone back next week, Matt, and I cannot wait to hear the dry shampoo news. But yeah, for those of you that are avid listeners, again, apologies for not being here for 2 weeks. We will be here for the foreseeable future and definitely next week when we've got our Open Championship preview show. So thank you for joining us. Again, sorry we've been away for a while, but great to be back and hopefully we'll speak to you all next week. Thanks, Matt.
Yeah, cheers. Good to speak.